us to explore a little bit as we're together for a few moments here this morning. When is a church more than a church? Now, I suppose you could say, well, any church is a gathering of people who know Jesus or worship Him and come together to worship on a Sunday morning. But that's really not much of a church if all it is a routine to show up on a Sunday for an hour and then you're done. What is a church more than that? Well, you might say, well, the church is more than a church, or at least more than that, when the church comes together and has activities and programs that minister to those who come. And that's a worthwhile thing. I mean, it's important that people don't just show up and go away empty. It's important when they come to worship that they are challenged and moved by the songs and by what is said, that there are programs that meet needs and help out, and that when it's all said and done, people grow because they've been part of that church. That's important, but when is a church more than that? Now, some might say, well, the church is more than a church when it's reaching out into the community. I mean, you look around and you see Vacation Bible School stuff and you think, yeah, that's when the church is more than the church. Ends to make a difference in the community. And as I look at our church, I am so encouraged by the signs I see of our church reaching out to our community. Obviously, with Vacation Bible School, we have 120 children coming, most of them from outside of our church, and counselors, 60, 70 teenagers, most of whom are from outside of our church, all coming to hear the primary message that God loves them and has done something for them that will change their lives in sending Jesus for them. Outreach is important, and we're seeing more and more of that happen. Last week, we had the Summer Olympics, and the only complaint that I heard about the Summer Olympics was from some of the members of the outreach team who said, we want to see people in the church invite more of their friends to these events so that they won't be just for the church family, but they'll be for those in the community. There's a mentality in our church that is beginning to see the opportunities that are out there in our community. And a couple weeks ago, I missed it, but we had the seniors' luncheon, and I heard there was more than 120 seniors here. Again, most of them were from outside the church. There's outreach going on. When is a church more than a church? Well, it's more than a church when the church begins to reach out. We had our youth missions trip down to Virginia, kids making a difference in the lives of others there. We have 3 days in August coming up for the teens after Vacation Bible School. All kinds of things happening that are more than just meeting our own needs, but making a difference in the lives of others. But when is a church more than that? When is a church more than just a place to show up on Sunday morning, to be fed, and then to maybe reach out to others? Well, that's the question I want you to be thinking about as we look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, because this chapter, on the surface, is kind of can seem like an irrelevant chapter for most of us. And yet, I think this is a chapter that really answers the question, when is a church more than a church, and therefore becomes relevant in each of our lives? And hopefully you'll see that as we go along. Well, let me read through these verses, because I don't think this is a familiar portion of Scripture to most of us. And I just invite you to read along if you have your Bibles, and if not, just to listen to what I read. 1 Timothy 5, beginning in verse 1. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day and to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. Give the people these instructions too. so that no one may be open to blame. If anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. No widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. As for younger widows, do not put them on such a list. For when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they may want to marry. And thus they will bring judgment on themselves because they have broken their first pledge. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things that they ought not to say. So I counsel younger widows to marry, to have children, to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. Some who have, in fact, already turned away to follow Satan. If any woman is a believer and has widows in her family, she should help them and not let the church be burdened with them, so the church can help those widows who are really in need. Well, as you read these verses about widows, there are probably a few here who can relate this, maybe have spent some time looking at this passage and studying it, but most of us find this one of those passages you just kind of skim over when you're reading through the Bible. And yet, I think at the heart of this passage is an important question that most Christians and many churches miss altogether. When is the church really the church? Well, Paul begins in talking to Timothy about his responsibility as a minister in the church in Ephesus. He had a responsibility, and Paul tells him he's supposed to be concerned about everyone in the church. And he mentions four groups in the church. He mentions the older men, the younger men, the older women, and the younger women. And it's interesting as you see this list that Paul gives, that he doesn't give detailed instruction for what Timothy is supposed to do for each of these groups. He doesn't tell Timothy, for example, at all what he's supposed to do with younger men or with older women. He does say with the older men, he says, if you have to rebuke an older man, don't do it harshly. Do it with respect, as if you were your father. Then he says at the very end, he says about younger women, he says, treat them as sisters with absolute purity. Those two bits of advice are more than advice. It's instruction for us, and it's important instruction. It's wise, especially for young ministers, I think, to recognize the importance of honoring those who are older. I remember when I was in my 20s, I was associate pastor of a church in Denver. And I don't remember what the issue was. Maybe I've told some of you this before, but I remember in a deacon's meeting, definitely I was the youngest person sitting in this meeting. And I had what I thought was a brilliant idea. And the response of one of the deacons to me, one of the older deacons, was, I don't know if you're just young or deceived. I wasn't ever sure exactly how to respond to that. But I can tell you that my initial desire was not to respond graciously. And I can't honestly say that I remember how I responded. I only know that from that, I realized that sometimes younger men in particular are enthusiastic and ambitious and want to charge ahead. And oftentimes older men in particular, but sometimes older women, are committed to their ways. Put it that way, and to make suggestions to change are not always received well. But Paul wanted Timothy to understand when he deals with older men in the church, he needs to respect them like a father, and particularly, he said, when there's something you need to confront some of them. It's something that you need to be very careful about. He didn't say to sweep it under the rug or to ignore it, but he says when you have to address it, do it carefully, with respect, like you would your father. But again, he doesn't say anything about what Timothy should do with regard to younger men or older women. He only mentions the younger women. And again, that instruction is very helpful instruction too, to treat them as if they were your sister. If you're their older brother and you look out for them and you care for them and you treat them with complete purity, like a healthy older brother would do to watch out for his sister. Unfortunately, too many ministers have gotten tripped up by not always being above reproach when it comes to dealing with younger women. And Paul understood that and instructed Timothy accordingly. And it's an important lesson to learn. But what does that have to do with the church, and what does that have to do with what Paul has to say about widows? Well, it has everything to do with both things, because it's not coincidental that Paul ends this list talking about the women. He talks about the older men and the younger women, younger men, and then the older women and the younger women. And then his next bit of advice, his next bit of instruction, is in verse 3. He says, verse 3. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. As I have wrestled with this passage this week, really those first three verses of this passage of Scripture are the foundation from which Paul says the rest of what he has to say in the following verses. What he wants Timothy to understand is that when it comes to his working in the church, he needs to treat those in the church like family. Treat the older men as if they were your dad. Treat the older women as if they were your mom. Treat the younger women like they were younger sisters, and the younger men as if they were brothers. When Paul instructs Timothy beyond the specifics, he's not as concerned about specifics. He doesn't even give specifics for two of those groups. He's concerned about an attitude that concerns itself for caring for the needs of the church family. It truly is, for Paul, a family, and he wanted Timothy to see it that way. And that's why he says, after having talked about older women and younger women, he talks about widows. Because in his mind, probably he was thinking specifically about this issue. The broader picture, which we'll talk about in a minute, deals with the whole family. But the primary issue that was on Paul's heart concerned widows in the church. He wanted to make sure that if Timothy was going to care for these women as he would a member of his family, that he really looked out for the widows in the church. And so we'll see what he has to say about that. But his primary focus, and the context in which all this falls, is to care for the people in the church like they were members of your family. In fact, you see that more clearly in some translations. I looked at this in the New American Standard Bible, for example, and verse 3 says, honor those widows who are really in need. The NIV says give proper recognition to those widows. But I think the word honor is more literal, and I think, while I really like the New International Version, I think honor those widows is really a more accurate translation. Because what Paul wants Timothy to think about is, if you're going to treat older women like mothers, younger women like sisters, then you need to think about them like family. And what is the great commandment about the family that comes to us from the Old Testament? The fifth commandment: honor your father and your mother. So when Timothy says, or when Paul says to Timothy, honor those widows, in his mind he's thinking, honor your mom. And if there's a widow in the church, she is like your mom. You should honor her. If there's a younger woman in the church, she's like a sister, and you should treat her just like you would a family. And it's because of his concern about women, whether they're older or younger, who happen to be widows, that he goes on to give a kind of a full explanation of how Timothy should care for widows. And basically what he wants Timothy to understand is that the church has responsibility for caring for widows in certain circumstances. And that's what he's going to tell us. He wants us to understand that the church is not responsible for caring for most widows. He says in verse 4, "But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents. For this is pleasing to God." Again, going back to the great fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and your mother. And Paul says, if there's a widow in the church and she has children or grandchildren, it's their responsibility to honor her for all the service she has rendered to them by caring for their needs, by looking out and providing for her. Now, one thing that's important to say as a backdrop, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but you know, if you know anything about the first century, you know that the circumstances of a widow in the first century were far different than the circumstances of widows in 21st century America, at least most widows. There was no government program, no social security, there were no pensions, there were no bank accounts. When a woman's husband died, that was her security and that was her hope. Most women didn't work outside the home. A few did, but most did not. So when the husband died, all their security, all their provision died as well. So there, we have to understand that, and it was a crucial issue in the church because a widow was a person who was in desperate need. In our day, to be a widow doesn't necessarily mean that you're in desperate financial need. There may be other needs. But there is that difference we need to recognize as we read through this passage. But there's still things we should learn from this passage and what Paul has to say, because it has to do with how we relate as family. So he says, the first thing, not every widow should be cared for by the church, because some widows need to be cared for, most widows in fact, need to be cared for by their children or their grandchildren. If there's a widow in the church who has believing children or grandchildren, before God, it's your responsibility to look out for your mom. That is not the state's primary responsibility. It's not the church's responsibility. It's your responsibility. In fact, in our culture, I suppose we're fortunate that the state does provide so much for seniors. But biblically, the Bible says nothing about the state providing for widows or seniors or retired people. That wasn't something that was done in the first century, so it's not addressed. So when we get frustrated that the government doesn't do enough for our seniors, there may be a reason to be frustrated, but biblically, it's not something that the Bible talks about. That responsibility rests primarily with the family and secondarily with the church. So not every widow should be cared for, because most of them should be cared for by their children or their grandchildren. That's your responsibility in honoring your parents. And in fact, there's another separation out of the widows who don't need to be cared for by the church. He says in verse 6, the widow who lives for pleasure, verse 5, the widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. I think what Paul is wanting Timothy to understand is, here's a woman who has no place else to turn but just casts herself on God. She doesn't turn to family. There are no friends. She believes in God and trusts in God, and he's the only one who's going to look out for her. Conversely, there are widows the church need not be responsible for, and those are the ones he speaks of in verse 6. It says, but the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. I think what he's saying is there are those who are committed, that they're in need. They're truly in need. In fact, if you have a different version other than the New International Version, it talks about a widow who is a widow indeed. That's really literally how the Greek renders it. And what it means is, a woman, a widow, who is truly bereaved. The word widow, at least in the Greek word, means to be bereaved or to be uncared for. So a woman who is truly uncared for and casts herself on God That's the kind of person that that Paul is thinking about. But for a woman who really isn't following God, she's living for herself, she's clearly not a believer. The church is not responsible. The church has responsibility for those women who are following God and are committed to Him. That doesn't mean that as Christians we turn a blind eye to a need of a non-Christian, whether they're widows or homeless or whatever. It means that we have a unique responsibility to care for those who are part of the church family and who identify themselves with Christ. So, trying to sort out what our responsibilities are, if the woman has children or grandchildren who can meet those needs, they should do it. If the woman is not a believer, she may show up from time to time at the church, but the church is not obligated there either. This is a person who's truly devout. But there are two other conditions that Paul talks about for meeting the needs of these widows. He says, no widow, verse 9. Oh, let me just go back to verses 7 and 8. He wants to underscore, this is an important point, our responsibility as Christians for taking care of our family. If you have elderly parents and you say, well, you know, you didn't save up your money, so you're stuck. We're stuck together. They're part of your family. You have a responsibility for them. So he says in verse 7, give the people these instructions so that no one may be open to blame. If anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. How can you be worse than an unbeliever if you don't take care of your parents or your widowed mother? Well, I think there are several ways. If you're truly a believer, you know what the Bible teaches. You know the Bible teaches you to honor your father and your mother. An unbeliever may not really know that. They may not be able to quote the Old Testament or know that it's repeated in the New Testament. You, as a believer, have the very life of God in you, the Holy Spirit at work. And that should give you compassion and love for other people, especially people in your family. An unbeliever doesn't have that working of God in his life. And yet, you and I all know friends and neighbors who have looked out for their parents and sacrificed for them in their retirement years, have sacrificed in significant ways. And they have no interest in spiritual things, but they really show a love for their parents. So, if I, as a person who calls myself a Christian, don't care for my parents, if I, who has the life of God supposedly in me, and knows what God wants me to do, and then I ignore the needs of my parents, I'm worse than an unbeliever. Because unbelievers do a lot of good things, they don't even necessarily know why they do them. Or they don't do them to please God necessarily. So, there are a lot of people that sometimes do better things than we do as Christians, and that's not something that makes God very happy. But there are two different criteria for the church to care for widows. It says in verse 9, no widow may be put on the list of widows unless she's over 60, has been faithful to her husband, is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. The first criteria, if the church is going to get involved to look out for the needs of a widow, is that she has to be a person who has shown true devotion to God. Now, we're going to discover why this is so important, because this is not a welfare program. In fact, there's kind of a sub-lesson in this, that the Bible doesn't teach welfare. It's not a political thing. It's a biblical thing. Paul says to the Thessalonians, if a man or a woman does not work, he ought not eat. So this is that's pretty strong stuff. So this is not just a program for devout women to go sit and play cards while the church takes up offerings to meet their needs. This is an actual ministry position in the church. At least it was in the early church. And you see that because it talks about a pledge. These women committed themselves to that. And it's in the context. Remember, we've been looking in these chapters about elders and deacons. And after this, he talks about paying your pastor, basically paying the elder who teaches. So in that context, this seems to be a position in the church. He says this person needs to have qualities that make them somebody who can be followed. So they ought to be people who are faithful, been faithful in their marriage. It's the same word that's used for deacons and elders, by the way, but the wife of one husband. It, in this context, it's clear, as I think it is in chapter 4, that it doesn't mean that she can only be married once, but she's faithful to her husband. Because in the context, it's clear that Paul actually encourages younger women, younger widows, to remarry. So, anyway, these are qualifications. She needs to have unique and devout qualifications. Secondly, it says she has to be over 60. Pretty specific stuff. Why is that? Well, the reason Paul explains is that those who are under 60 are going to be distracted, and they're not going to be able to be focused on this task that's given them in the church. He goes on to explain that in verse 11. As for younger widows, do not put them on such a list. Don't make them part of this ministry. But when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. It sounds demeaning as we read through this, that somehow these women can't control themselves. That's not his point. He's saying that a younger woman is naturally going to be more interested in remarrying because she's lonely, because she desires the relationship, whatever it is, and that's his point. So verse 12, thus they bring judgment on themselves because they've broken their first pledge. He doesn't say anything about this pledge, but apparently there's a commitment that is made to be part, a significant part of this ministry of the church. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house, and not only do they become idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things they ought not to. So I counsel younger women, younger widows, to marry, to have children, to manage their homes, to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. And apparently, we don't know exactly how this happened, but verse 15, some have in fact already turned away to follow Satan. So there was in the church something that had already happened, and some of the women had been following God, but they must have followed some sort of pattern like this. They lost their husband, and then they got caught up in some sort of dating scene, maybe met somebody who wasn't a believer and wandered away from God. Whatever it is, what Paul is saying is he's saying the people the church needs to care for specifically, provide for, are these women over 60 who commit themselves to being part of this unique ministry in the church. Now, I don't know much about this ministry, but I do know that the early church, there's some reference to the fact they actually had a certain order of women who were basically elder nuns. I mean, that's how we would look at it. They committed themselves to stay single, and not to remarry, and to give themselves to the church. And Paul says that's great. If they're old enough to make that commitment and they can follow through on it, that's a blessing to the church. And those are the people the church should make a specific commitment to meet their needs. Now, he doesn't say anything about how the church is to meet the needs of the younger widows who may struggle to survive. There's no indication to me that he says don't care for them. It's just that this seems to be like a regular paycheck to these people because of their need and because of their commitment to the church. Anyway, he ends this by saying, in verse 16, if any woman is a believer and has widows in her family, she should help them and not let the church be burdened with them, so that the church can help those widows who are really in need. I'm not 100% sure of the translation, whether version I looked at had, if any man or woman is a believer and has widows in his family, and it goes on. It seems to me that whether Paul is thinking specifically perhaps of the younger widows who have the means to make it on their own and to remarry, they can have a significant ministry in caring for the older widows, or whether he's going back to the main theme that he had, which is that each person in the church has responsibility to care for widows in his or her family. Either way, I think the point is the same, and that is that when we care for those we're responsible for, we take some of the burden off the church. But Paul's point is twofold. One, the family has the primary responsibility for caring for widows, and I'd say in our day and age, caring for our parents as they get older and have physical and financial needs. And if you've never realized that, it's not the primary responsibility of the Social Security Administration or a nursing home. It is our responsibility as Christian sons and daughters. As my parents get older, I realize that some of you are too young to even think about this stage of life, but many of you are at that stage of life where you need to care for your parents or need to start thinking about caring for your parents. And it's primarily our responsibility. When there isn't a son or a daughter to do it, it's the church's responsibility. It may be in a very unique way in which the church actually offers a job so the person does something, they're committed to God and they do something in service for God. Or maybe the church just helps out from time to time. You know, we use our benevolent fund in the church to help people in need, and we've helped a number of widows and single moms and helped other people as well. But we're always, it's a blessing for the church to be able to give in those situations, because we have that responsibility. And for a few of you who've had to ask for that money, we don't give it, I hope we don't give it begrudgingly. It's a blessing for the church to be able to provide for that need, and it's a responsibility that we have. But I asked a question at the beginning. When is the church more than the church? Anybody have any ideas on based on this passage? As I've looked at this, I realize that we're not simply called to be a gathering that shows up for meetings on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesdays, to be part of small groups and Sunday school classes. Those are all important and great and hopefully helpful things. We've been called to be a family. And really, the church is more than a church. No, that's not really accurate. The church is really the church. When we take responsibility for one another, it's family. As I said, there's a lot of ways to look at this passage in terms of how you might apply it. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with that, but it does seem to me to say that the Bible doesn't teach welfare. If we provide for those who can work, they ought to earn it. If they have need, then we give them opportunity to work to earn that. It happened even to elderly women over 60 who were in need. Paul said, give them this responsibility in the church. It has a lot to say to us as sons and daughters of aging parents. It says to me, as a pastor, that if you're not here on a Sunday morning carrying out your ministry responsibility, whatever it is, however important it may be, because you're caring for your parents, you've chosen to do the better thing. As important as it is to have you here doing whatever ministry you do, your primary ministry is to honor your mom, to honor your dad, care for that. And this says to me that widows, the elderly, are very important in the church. You know, we're a younger church by and large, and it's easy for us to carry on our lives and to fail to appreciate and benefit from the experience of those who are older than we are. We need to avail ourselves of their experience and their wisdom, and we need to ask them to let us serve them and support them and encourage them. We're family. When is the church really the church? When we understand, we realize God has called us to care for one another as family.